Notice, I
he's
said...
He's pretty jacked.
Think about where that puts him on the curve, Fox.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah, I think they have... it's not a bell curve. It's like, I don't know, more of a ditch, an athleticism ditch.
Pike's Peak? Pike's Peak is probably, like, one person way over here. Like, Brooks Koepka is fairly together and coordinated. He thinks of himself as a disappointment because he doesn't play baseball. Like, he said that.
I know they're doing like an F1-esque documentary on golfers for Netflix.
Yep.
I just want to watch them run 5-on-5. I just want them to do like do something else. I would love.
You want them to run a phys ed combine?
Yeah. Just play right. I don't know. I just want to see them to do something because golf is very difficult. Game requires excellent hand-eye coordination. It's a very difficult activity to take part in. But yep. I want to know
game,
if they are.
Activity.
I want to know.
Nouns.
Yeah, I want to know. They're not nouns for sports. They're nouns for games and activities. But I want to know if they are like adaptive sportsmen, or not sportsmen. But like if they're, because I know like Steph Curry, obviously, whatever happens in his brain to tell the rest of his body to do things, magnificent. I imagine you give Steph Curry 2 years with a soccer ball, he will be able to do impressive things.
Joel Embiid, too, is like this at 7 feet tall. That would make him crazy. Pick up any sport within minutes.
I saw Rory McIlroy celebrate after his fine chip out of the sand trap.
Yeah, birdie on 18. Yeah.
Yes, I realized that he doesn't have that. He has like great hand-eye coordination or muscle memory as it comes to golf. Clearly, but he does not have the transferable skill set to even celebrate.
I will just say, one, you could not have made that shot out of the bunker in like a zillion years.
Agreed.
Okay,
correct. I'm not arguing that I could.
Okay. Two, I think you'd be surprised because sure, those top golfers just which has never developed, and they had to start so soon to develop these outrageous skills. No. But I think you would be surprised by some of the mid-tier guys. The mid-tier guys have surprisingly diverse athletic background.
The point I'm making is I want to see them try. Wait, I'm not saying they can't. I want to see them try. And I promise you, I can go into a sand trap and do something that looks reasonable. I'm just looking at the way that he celebrated. That doesn't look reasonable. So, I'm not saying I can hit the shot, but I can swing a club. I can look like I know what I'm doing. Ha, ha, ha.
So for the people who are not watching on video, this is not going to be helpful. But for the people who are watching on video, Dominique, I feel like you need to show and demonstrate.
Yeah.
Because we don't have the rights to the celebration, what Rory McIlroy did exactly upon holing.
Well, you do that while I tweet, the show. Thank you, Alan.
And actually, Dominique, like, can you tweet the show first so that everyone can see your celebration?
Yeah.
Okay.
That'd be cool.
Okay. Hold on. I can tweet the show first so they can see the celebration. That can be done. How would you describe Alabaster? You're on the spot. Since you're making us all tweet, I need you to describe, like, in one word, how would you describe Rory McIlroy's celebration?
White.
Well done. Well done. I didn't want to say it, but I mean.
Stilted. Herky jerky.
Yeah, I was going to go spastic, but I do feel like the clubhouse leader is Alabaster calling out Alabaster. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I believe the word we would want to use there is stilted. Stilted. And I would say that on brand for Rory McIlroy and his brand of, you know, usually understated sort of.
All right, here we go. We're going around the horn. Everyone has to give it a shot.
Full screen.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
All right, Pablo, you got one?
Yep.
Give Pablo the full screen. Well done. And Spencer, you're not allowed. You're not allowed, Spencer.
No.
You have an unfair advantage when it comes to doing the Rory. So it's just Spencer's between me and Pablo.
I'm too ethnically approximate, right? I share too much genetic material.
Did you see the little hands go for it?
I would just say this. I would say this, though, that my natural reaction to those things, as with all things in my people, is this. Don't show the devil your teeth because he might see them and start paying attention to you. That's it. Don't show any happiness. That's what we want. We just want things to be grim. Right? Like, that's it. We want you to hit a birdie out of the trap and go, yes. Well done.
Fine. Mm-hmm. All right. What are we talking about? Not the Lakers, I hope.
I was hoping we'd get into the racial history of teeth, but I guess we can talk about sports now. Yeah.
All right, guys. We're going to start with the team that Dominique is still terrified of. Those Lakers, they can still make a run at it. Just kidding. They're out. And our question is, was Frank Vogel part of the problem for the Lakers?
So to recap what happened early Monday morning, because it's incredible, Adrian Wojnarowski reports that Frank Vogel, and this is on Twitter, of course, Frank Vogel has coached his final game for the Lakers, a decision that's expected to be shared with him as soon as Monday, sources tell ESPN. Of course, it was 12:31 a.m., and cut to Frank Vogel at 12:50 a.m. saying, quote, "I haven't been told shit," end quote. Which is just a perfect, just microcosm of how NBA news actually works. You have Woj breaking something that the person who is getting fired does not yet know, who is then asked immediately about how he was just fired, and then all he can say is, I guess I haven't been told that, although officially, guess what, Frank, you have been told that now. So just beautiful end to the Lakers season.
So now he has been told stuff?
No. No.
No.
No.
Yeah. He's been asked about Lakers, it. Could the Lakers do the thing where in order to prove the media wrong, they don't fire him for a while, only extending his misery? Maybe that's actually the funniest outcome here. To spite Woj, they're like, actually, we're not getting... Wait. Alabaster, what's happened?
Can I add something to this that might actually help you along the way with this? LeBron is also piled on saying, I haven't been told anything. I just control what I can control. I'm not controlling the coaching thing. I don't know if Frank Vogel's fired or not.
Oh, gosh.
Sure.
Wink.
I mean, I am often very defensive of LeBron when people pile on him for his roster construction and things like that. But please don't, LeBron. You make it very hard for me when you tweet things like this. Like, I can concoct an argument to defend you, but when you insinuate that you don't have any influence, it's really hard for me to find any ground to stand on. Because obviously, if you want Frank Vogel to stay, my life's back. If you want Frank Vogel to stay, then you could get him to stay. If you want him to leave, you could get him to leave. So just be quiet and don't try to trick people with, I mean, it's not even a trick. It's just like everyone knows. You're LeBron James. You can get whatever you want done. If you would like to not be a part of these things, that's fine. Say that. I'm choosing not to be involved in this decision. I can defend that. I can't defend I only control what I control when we know that you are like as close as you can possibly get to a god in the NBA. You can control just about everything.
Yeah, I'm enjoying being at this moment in History Fox where we can have an NBA coach asked in his press conference about the report that he has been fired but will not be told till Monday. Let's just all keep wraps on this. Could you just chill and not tell Frank about it? However, apparently we could just do that now. Apparently we could just go to a reporter and be like, hey, don't tell him, but he's gone. Absolutely gone. By the way, this is a very attractive job and we're having multiple offers, right? A lot of interest.
Yes, for this extended job. Search.
Yeah, where we just fired and where the roster was in large part put together by the team. By particularly by one superstar player on the team. Again, I love to defend LeBron James. LeBron James is awesome in so many ways. Maybe getting Westbrook on the team was a mistake. Just a little, I'm going to take a little stretch there and say maybe that didn't work.
I mean, the DeRozan alternative isn't looking at that good right now either.
No.
Because that was what people were making. Like, you could have DeRozan when he was out there convincing people he was something like MVP. He no longer is. The Bulls now stink. So I'm not sure that it was in the cards for the Lakers at all this season had they kept Caruso and brought in DeRozan. So
I mean, look, I clearly would have rather had DeRozan than Russ, but you're right that hypothetical multiverse scenario is less attractive now. But in either of these worlds, by the way, Frank Vogel is not being dealt a hand that is suited for Frank Vogel. I mean, keep in mind, when the Lakers won the title, defense, this is a championship-winning coach in 2020. Defense, Dominique, yes, is always the calling card that Frank Vogel has. That is what he is known by. When they won the title, they were the best defense. This season, they were bottom 10 defensively and offensively. They were starting LeBron James at center. They had Russell Westbrook at point guard. Defense was absolutely not, especially with Anthony Davis out for 40 or so games this season, missing the vast majority of the last 25 or so. this was never going to be great for what Frank Vogel does well, for what the Lakers need. And yeah, like, what happens when you can't fire the guys who didn't play that well because they happen to be the guys under contract and are stars? You go and fire the coach. And this is a tale as old as time. You don't fire Russell Westbrook. He's under contract. You don't fire LeBron James, obviously. You don't fire Anthony Davis, obviously. But, like, Frank's head has to roll. This is how this is how the sport works.
I have a lot of things to say. None of them. I promised one man on Twitter that I wasn't going to talk about the Lakers. So none of what I'm going to say is about the Lakers because I don't want to break that promise to this random Twitter follower that I have. I don't even know if he follows me. But anyway, generally, I think we assume that big time, like, name brand companies are well run and are led by smart, savvy operators. And I think for the most part, in the general open free market, that is true, because the people who are not savvy operators, the clumsy, stupid businesses, fall apart before they get to the point where they are at the top. However, within sports, there's a closed ecosystem that protects them from, like, the cost of being in an open market. So sometimes, oftentimes, you get organizations that are run by people who are not savvy or smart or all that introspective or have great vision for the future. And sometimes it happens to be the Los Angeles Lakers. Oh, I'm not talking about the Lakers. Sometimes it happens to be at a big time organization. So I think
someone hypothetically inheriting their team from their hypothetical father.
Purely hypothetically. So you can't fail in this business. So you're going to look at the books at the end of every year and they're like, hey, you're a success. They'll keep you around. So I think you end up in the situation that we forget often that no, this is not a real free market. This is a system that is protected. Like, it's as close, it's closer, much closer to socialism than anything else. Yes, and they're protected. And some of these bad companies continue to run well. So this was a fun economics discussion. Basketball.
Yeah, I would also say this is what happens when you don't fully extrapolate the notion of the super team. That was the thing, you know, 2-3 years ago, which is, well, everybody's just going to pick where they want to play now. We're just going to let players team up. We're going to end up with super teams. Cool. You do end up with super teams. You've just found out that mergers don't always make sense.
That's fair.
Right.
Yeah. No synergies, right?
No synergies whatsoever.
No synergies. There's a lot of overlap.
You can't just get a bunch of good players in one place and hope it works. You're going to see that you've seen that with the Lakers. And
also players who you think are good that aren't actually good. Those are really bad for you.
Correct. That was extremely bad. But you might also see this with the Nets. Like if the Nets bomb out, like, I have no doubt that Kevin Durant is going to absolutely kill it. The rest of the Nets, it's a yard sale. We'll see who shows up. We'll see what happens.
But it's worth pointing out, right, because of the brand of the Lakers and it being a special hallowed thing in American sports, if I asked you in the last 9 seasons how many times have the Lakers missed the playoffs, I don't think you would intuitively say the right answer, which is 7. They have missed the playoffs 7 of the last 9 years. And it's just like, they're a bad run organization. Yeah. And on some level, right, like, all of this is ownership driven. And maybe that's always the answer. That's the Occam's razor in every dysfunctional business is, like, who's the guy with the actual power? But underneath, I mean, part of what makes the Lakers so especially delicious, Alabaster, is the fact that you have this palace intrigue all of the time where you have, like, all of these people who have influence, but none of them fully own the influence that they have for reasons of strategy and incompetence. Like, Kurt Rambis is out here in the background somewhere making calls, making decisions, right? His wife, Linda, is there somewhere too. LeBron James is there, which means LeBron James's agents are there. Agents, by the way, that he kind of is the boss of. Rob Pelinka is there. I mean, the owner, it's a
don't
mess.
Don't forget about Magic Johnson.
Magic Johnson is not there. He is not there.
He's there. He may not physically be there.
I'm sorry. However, I saw him on TV saying he won't be there. So
yeah, I just mean he's there as a part of the story. He's not physically there. But I can't wait for a winning time, the 2022 Lakers. When that comes to HBO, it's going to be so much better than the one that's there now, which is very good. Can we stop talking about them? Yeah, please.
Well, Alabaster, what do you want?
I have one follow-up, but to your point, though, Dominique, Magic actually said he was actively recruiting DeMar DeRozan this offseason. So he kind of is there. He was like, I passed along. He wanted to come home. But my question is,
LeBron vetoed it.
Yeah. My question is, okay, So you have LeBron James, you have Anthony Davis. Unfortunately, you have Russell Westbrook and a bogged down cap that's already in the luxury tax. And you're not sure about the front office. But if you're a top coach, is this an appealing job?
No. They're trying to – I mean, my favorite thing that's infuriating people in the NBA right now – is how Nick Nurse is suddenly a candidate for this job. Nick Nurse is the coach of the Toronto Raptors, one of the best coaches in the league, a guy who won a championship, and everyone's assuming, because of Lakers' manifest destiny, that they will just get Nick Nurse. And if you're Nick Nurse, why in the hell would you want any part of the scenario that we've just outlined here?
Yeah, and I think that, so a couple things. Let's commend LeBron for not going for the scoring title. Good job, LeBron. Way to sit out and not go take the scoring title on a meaningless season. But I would say that a lot of the things that we believe, like the selling points for the Lakers, are not things that are appealing to a head basketball coach. So, like, I would rather work in Los Angeles than Toronto, even though Toronto is an outstanding city. Yeah, I like the weather there. Like, if I'm young and single, I want to be in LA. It's beautiful. I can go to movie premieres. I can do all types of stuff in LA. It sounds awesome. I'm a basketball coach. All I really want is some film in a gym. Like, I can't imagine that the selling point on Nick Nurse is like, hey, you'll be 30 minutes from the beach. Well, if it's traffic, hour and a half from the beach. Like, Nick Nurse does not care about that. So, and even for young basketball players, maybe it's a selling point for free agents. Because, yeah, you're in your 20s. Yeah, I get some free time, some money. I'm going to LA anyway. Why not be here? You're a 50-year-old basketball coach with 20-year-old children. Not that Nick Nurse is any of these things, but I'm just thinking hypothetical basketball coach.
Yeah.
LA ain't sexy to you. It's just a distraction. It's a problem.
Yeah, you know.
Nick Nurse, by the way, just very quickly, a very young looking 54 years old. So not so far off there.
Yeah, you know, you've crossed a certain sort of threshold in life when you're thinking about, you know, okay, I'm going to put myself in this coach's shoes. How old is he? 55. And one of the primary concerns is going to be that state sales tax is looking a little steep.
Exactly.
Might go to the Mavs or the Spurs instead. Man, Texas, they got one. Like, that's really what you're talking about. Also, is that going to maximize Nick Nurse's value and power in the organization?
No.
He's eminently disposable if he becomes the Lakers coach. Yeah. That's the thing.
No.
In Toronto, he's integral. He's central to that mission. He is a set piece that they need to hold on to. In L.A., he is filling a hole. That's it, right? It's the next guy.
And that hole is being filled by LeBron James's puppeteering hand, just for the record. Like, this is
I think we're done. I think we're done.
It's a real
you're talking about LeBron's hands
scenario.
And others. Yeah, I'm good. Can we be done with this? I promised the guy on Twitter that we weren't going to talk about it. I promised him.
Sorry, guy on Twitter.
Sorry, guy.
All right, guys, we can move on. Our next question. Do you find yourself agreeing with Dabo Swinney at all about the state of college football?
Dabo loves to proclaim things about the state of college football. Spencer, as our college football ambassador, can you explain what it is that Dabo said this? Because he made a pretty big news cycle out of this. And there's a lot in here.
He did, and he said a lot of things. And I would say that you should always treat Dabo Swinney's comments about the free market the way that you would treat my comments about cheese. I don't like it. I don't really understand it. I'm fully ignorant on the subject. And yet, I don't say anything about it. Unfortunately, Dabo has a mic, and he's just going to say it. Because Dabo's been very successful in one particular department of life, and apparently he thinks that gives him license to just go along on other things. However, I think he was being very specific in one thing, and he's absolutely correct, that there are a number of forces that are going to be, I think, at war in college football. And that is, one, the increased influx of money, in the form of TV money and NLI money. Those things are going to be name, image, and likeness money, NIL money. Those are going to be at loggerheads. Those are going to be at ends. I think inadvertently, he's making the wrong argument against his own arguments. I think he's actually arguing for paying players accidentally, right? He says, well, right now you got everybody in one group. It's not feasible. Alabama has different problems than Middle Tennessee, but we're trying to make them all the same, and it's just not. Well, this has always been the case. There's always been those one or two games on the schedule from games like MTSU to get your invitation, your cupcake games to come in. The level of competition across college football has always been wildly unequal. That is from the start. This has never been a league of parity. It has never even been a proper league. It has been, at bare minimum, five different leagues across the history of the sport. I don't think there should be a commissioner, because I don't want a commissioner in charge of the sport. I think you already have 40 or 50 teams, and that may be wildly overestimating how many you have. And I think when he said, at one point in these remarks, and I don't know if you have this, Alistair, but at one point in these remarks, he said, well, you know, nobody sets their own value in a free market. It's not a free market. Like, he is absolutely correct. When he's, it's not. There's no free market in college football because we can't pay players. We can't even throw a dart at the board and say, maybe that's what a left tackle is worth, because they don't get paid, right? There we go. We live in a capitalist society. None of us got to coach and make money, but I don't apologize for being successful. Translation, right. Not a dime. Not a dime of Dabo's money goes to anybody else. Now, and I do think that there are a lot of issues when it comes to, like, you know, paying players, when it comes to taxes, and when it comes to the transfer market particularly. The transfer portal is going to be a wild west. I think that there probably needs to be some way of tying players to a place. If only there were something, a legal agreement that provided money in exchange for labor that we've already, like, all of the problems that we have in college football have been fixed by common law. If we had contracts and salaries,
that's the word.
All easy.
Contracts.
There.
So I, before ever reading quotes from Dabo Swinney, I think it's pretty safe for me to be like, I disagree. Mm-hmm. There's anything that Dabo Swinney has ever said or is going to say, I'm going to fall on the side of disagreeing.
Disagree with this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you disagree with incentivizing education, Dominique. Yes, you agree with devaluing education.
I do, 100%. I agree with devaluing education. I think that the way that he's speaking of it specifically, yes, I agree with that, because that's not what they're there for. Like, not even that Maryland is an Ivy League school, but I wouldn't have gotten into Maryland if I couldn't play ball. And, like, I was there to play football. I happen to be smart enough to do well there and do well elsewhere. But the fact of the matter is, I knew why I was there. And when they said you can't have a computer justice or computer science degree because they're labs during practice, they made it even more clear that I am here to play football. So stop playing, Dabo. Like, it's just nonsense. And you don't care about education. That's foolishness. If you cared, you would. There are several other things you could do to incentivize education. And I'm not saying that what he's doing is a problem, but don't stand in the way of the progress that the game so desperately needs. And he points out that there are issues, which, yes, there are issues. But there are more issues with how it was before. We are moving in a better direction. I'm not saying it's perfect by any stretch, but we are moving in a better direction, professionalizing this, because it's bleeping professional. Like, what about this is not professional? And then the idea that they're going to pay their own tuition. No, they don't. Well, you can still give them scholarships. You can do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. This felt, I mean, number one, there should be a computer justice course. That sounds like an awesome class. I would love to take computer justice with Professor Foxworth.
I put those together because, like, almost everybody on our team was CJS majors, because that was, you know, some certain majors, you know.
I mean, I've majored in sociology. Second point here, right? The thing that Dabo says here, right, about how if you start paying people and there are contracts, you can then start firing kids on the spot and they can.
You do it already.
Exactly. I'm just like, there's an incoherence here where I'm like, does Dabo Swinney watch college football? Where I'm like, I thought this stuff is actually happening already. I guess the point is, Spencer, my question here, right, is if you do the thing that he says, which I think realistically, reasonable people agree will happen soon enough, right? There's going to be a mega conference where the Alabamas and the Clemsons and, like, the real top tier schools will just live and mostly play each other, no more cupcakes and so forth. If you have that, I just find it incredibly implausible that it becomes less likely that calls to pay those players contractually. Like, I find it less likely that you're not going to hear more calls to action on that. It feels like you're just actually professionalizing as close as you can without actually doing it.
I mean, it's too stupid to discuss. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you can complain about an avalanche. It's still coming. You know, you can point at the avalanche and say, this avalanche is attempting to cancel me. Guess what? It's still coming. Like, legally, it's not tenable. to do this. At one point, the courts will step in full and say, your business model is not defensible. By the way, the Supreme Court is already on record as saying this in a judgment which was not binding, right? But it's still a matter of law that the Supreme Court, which at the moment is not necessarily built out of the most bleeding heart liberal people you can imagine, they all looked at it and said, this is not a valid business argument. This is not a valid business. This is completely wrong.
So I wish just being right and wrong was enough, but I have a lot of U.S. history to prove to me, and frankly, world history to prove to me that just because this is wrong doesn't mean that they'll stop it. So let's not assume that it's the arc of history is going to bend towards justice, because it sure as hell doesn't feel like it does sometimes. But the thing that upsets me most about Dabo Swinney is he hasn't put together a cogent enough argument for us to argue against. Like, I'm listening to this, and I'm bored by this conversation that I'm participating in, because it's like we're playing against a cupcake. You know, when they play Middle Tennessee State at the beginning of the season, and you watch for the first drive, and you're like, this stinks, and it's 60-0 at halftime? That's how I feel debating Dabo Swinney on the merits of college football.
Also, it's boring and stupid. Let me be real capitalist about this, okay? Dabo, you should shut up and play ball. I don't need to hear your comments about like capitalism or economics. Yeah. That's not what you're paid to do. Get DJ Uiagalelei above 60% the completion percentage. Get that offense together. All right.
Dabo's not a football coach.
Yeah,
clearly.
I'm not going to apologize for the success I have in forming opinions. Okay.
Dabo is like a team leader, but I cannot let you blame him for the tactics of the Clemson Tigers on the field. Because Dabo's not actually a football coach. He hires football coaches, but he just kind of runs the team. Like he's a recruiting mascot and a rah-rah dude.
A CEO, which would be for a company which has employees.
Hmm. Ooh, interesting. He does call himself that, too. Mm-hmm. Anyway, can we stop? Like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
No, I'm ruining both the talks.
First topic, I got sick of it. I agree. This topic, I'm sick of it. It's just stupid.
I agree. And I don't think Dabo is suddenly going to go Appalachian State, Michigan on us and suddenly win our hearts and minds. But I am curious, is this like, how isolated is this sort of framework of thinking, right? Like in college football, because things have changed. To what extent is what Dabo's incoherence is signifying? To what extent is that uncommon, common? Where are we on that?
I think the kind of global thinking that you see on this is pretty uncommon, because football coaches tend to be very literal people, very literal, very nuts and bolts. The problem with this argument, too, is that it's like 15% accurate, right? There will have to be some sort of tweaking of the transfer portal. There should be some way of increasing like job security for players, right? Or not job security, but I guess stability of programs, right? Like they have to figure out some way to make a more attractive benefits package so that players will stay even if they have to wait a year to play. That's a big issue. I don't think coaches think that far ahead. I don't think they think that globally. Most of them are just thinking about how I put my roster together and what's keeping me from doing that, right? Also, by the way, like Dabo, like we're all disagreeing with Dabo here, okay? And I don't have to necessarily assume that his opinions are global or universal about this at all. I really don't, right? Like this is not a personal thing with Dabo. You just say, listen, this worked for you. This whole system worked for you. It worked out great. You got yourself a big old house that looks like a La Quinta, okay? And that's your whole deal in Clemson. Life is really good for you. But this is a common mistake people make, okay? And I don't think all football coaches make it. They think because it worked for them, then the system works. That's it.
Yes.
My reality is my reality alone. And as the protagonist of that reality, I have determined that it's good. Right?
No, there is big, this guy is nice to me and therefore he's a good person energy coming out of this. Like, that is not the standard here. Like, he was polite to you, he paid you a compliment, but actually in every other facet of his life, he's an asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do think that that's a really good point. And he should probably recuse himself from any conversations, because it's clear that he is very biased in this situation, because it worked him to the tune of $10 million a year. And La Quinta, if you're going to make your house look like something, it ain't a La Quinta. Like, get it together.
I mean, it's a nice La Quinta, Fox. I mean, I would get there, it that.
Is oh, never mind. Before I alienate any potential sponsors, La Quinta.
Debatable. Sponsored by La Quinta. Your home on the road.
It's where you sleep at.
I think you just gave him a great new motto.
at any number. Yeah, I sleep in any number of one bedroom suites out of 48 possibilities every night in my house.
Oh, man, have I managed to kill another topic? That's my goal today.
Just throw them out.
I thought that was great until you, you know, questioned the beauty of Spanish Revival architecture, which I think we can all agree is, you know, a beautiful mosaic tile. But let's move on.
Who owns La Quinta?
I don't
know. Dabo's winning. Dabo's winning.
But let's talk about Tiger. We skipped Tiger, who came back and he played the Masters. He played well for two rounds. He struggled over the weekend. Oh, yeah, and Scottie Scheffler won and was awesome the whole time. But our question, should Tiger Woods feel satisfied about his performance at the Masters?
I'm tweeting out the show again, sorry.
Is the operative word here, as we also should tweet out the show again. Let me do that as well. But Spencer, I guess where I am on this is that, like, Tiger Woods, I think for the first time in a long time, experienced the joy of low expectations. Like, he walked in here just having resurrected himself, right? Almost had his leg amputated, almost died. Everybody was just so happy to see him. By, like, Saturday, I think people began to be like, oh, God, I think Tiger's choking a little bit. Shooting, like, a 78 on a Saturday and then a Sunday. And I want Tiger to live in the place of, man, it's so nice to have people not expect a lot from me and then soar over that bar and make the cut. But it feels like if you're wired like him, that can't last so long. And everybody expecting you to be Tiger in ways that are completely incomprehensible given the context of this story, I feel like he's probably pretty much there already.
I'm confused about how I'm supposed to tell a man who has $600 million how to feel about anything. I don't know what your incentives are. I don't understand your life. I don't understand a single thing. When you wake up, it's a different universe than the one I... Like, how am I supposed to tell you how to feel about anything? That's a man who might get a nice place of, like, salmon, rice, pilaf, and some asparagus at a restaurant. And it might not be good. To me, that's good, because I'm like, ooh, salmon. That's not an everyday meal.
Spencer, you can't relate to a guy who has a super yacht named Privacy?
No! I can't relate. I can't relate to Tiger Woods, because he basically has his own island. Like, he's just got a big chunk of Jupiter Island and his own bar that he built next to his own little golf course. How am I supposed to tell him how to feel about anything? I guess objectively, he gets to Sunday, and that's an achievement for somebody who nearly had his leg lopped off, all right? He was struggling, but physically he got through 4 days of golf. I guess he should be satisfied about that, but again, I'm talking to a Martian.
I mean, when he goes back home to his island and his bar and his golf course, he should absolutely be satisfied because he's not going back to a home that looks like a La Quinta.
That's correct.
I mean, if you swimming in dough, I feel like you should have a Tiger Woods, Jupiter, Florida island over South Carolina La Quinta. Just my view. Mm-hmm. Anyway, as for his performance on the course, like, we're at the point where he already had one heroic win. Like, that was before the car accident. He had one, like, unlikely underdog championship run at the Masters. They expect him to do it again, I think, is unfair of any of us. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he probably expects himself to do it again, but he should be satisfied. The question isn't whether he is or isn't, but he should be satisfied. He finished. Like, I didn't even think he was going to make the cut. So, yeah, Tiger, celebrate.
It is worth reminding people, though, just what an all-time weirdo Tiger Woods is. Because there's a lot of, like, good vibes around this, celebrating him. But the dude who voluntarily does, like, Navy SEAL training. And then if you ever want to just Google Tiger Woods plus David Boreanaz, the actor from, you know, Angel, just you'll find some texts that I don't think anyone else has ever sent about certain fantasies.
No, yep,
it's very explicit. Derek Jeter, I think, is involved as well. The point is, just a truly unrelatable weirdo. Jeez. And I am glad that he's back in my life more than anything, because as much as Scottie Scheffler Alabaster is like 25 years old, the number one golfer in the world on an all-time heater, right? Four of six wins in his last six tournaments. He is so painfully normal. Yes, the guy who won the Masters. He is so literally painfully normal. I don't want that.
Can I say, I saw Scottie Scheffler pull off a trick that I have seen no other golfer pull off. At the tender age of 25, he managed to walk into Augusta National and say that something was more important and revered than the Masters. By the way, he had to go like really celestial for it, because he walked in and said, you know what, if I win the Masters, if I lose the Masters, that's okay, because, you know, I have my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I know that I'm going to be a better person tomorrow through the hard work that I do with my family, and that's what matters most. Like that's, he walked in and was basically like, yeah, you know, Augusta National, you're cool. No one else has ever done that. Pretty much everyone else has been like, yes, Jim Nance, I work at this altar.
You know what's better than Amen Corner? Actually saying amen to Jesus.
That is, you know what? Scottie Scheffler did that with all his heart, and everyone at Augusta National had to do this. We have a meeting about that. Gonna have a meeting. Augusta National, Jesus. That's Augusta National sort of agenda right there, right? Like, that's, he walked in and said that, and everyone's kind of like, that's right, Scottie. That's right. Just get him the jacket.
But all of these dudes, Dominic, all of these dudes, like the generation of people that Tiger Woods has inspired here, Scottie Scheffler, Jon Rahm, even Brooks Koepka, Bryson, like even those guys who are weird in their own ways, like he has inspired a generation of dudes who are designed to stop him from winning tournaments now. And they're giving us none of the joy that Tiger gave us in the process. And I just feel like that is particularly cruel for anybody who got suckered in to being intrigued by golf, to get no one who's even close to like the particular blend of God and weirdo that Tiger Woods is.
I mean, they're never going to get that again. Like that's once in a lifetime, once in many generation type of occurrence. So that's Tiger Woods. The expectation that we're going to see that somewhere else, I don't know. It's going to have to be Happy Gilmore style. It's going to have to be something really weird and different. But in order to make it up through golf, like you normally get the weird and different beaten out of you, which Tiger did, frankly. Like Tiger wasn't weird and different until he got good enough for us to discover how weird and different he was. So I'm not sure that we'll ever, because before Tiger was like America's sweetheart. He was the perfect pitch man for everything. He wasn't the weird and different guy until later on he got really comfortable. So I don't see us ever doing that again, because no one's ever going to be that good. No one's ever going to be that unique or look that different, frankly, which we all know had a lot to do with this, is dropping this brownish Asian man, cobbling Asian fella in the middle of the whitest sport we have was like a novelty. And then he was better than everybody by a long shot. Mm-hmm. Never going to happen again. Let's just enjoy him ambling around the golf course, hitting a good shot every now and then. You think he'll ever win another tournament? Like, I guess he won't play majors or non-majors, but I can't see him doing it.
He's playing the Open, the British Open, right? That's in July. He's going to do that. I cannot imagine he's going to win that tournament for the reasons we've already outlined.
No,
I'm not sure about the PGA.
It's a good old guy tournament, though. It really is. It's a good old, like...
Why? I think, Spencer, your question earlier is the most important one, or most interesting one to me, is his motivation. Like, why? Why? He really thinks he's going to win?
Ego. Ego's got to be, and I don't mean that in the negative sense of the word. I just mean he's got to feel like he's got to go out there because he's Tiger Woods.
But also, Alabaster, watching the Masters, talking to people who were at Augusta over the weekend, he's walking around feeling, I mean, it's a truly, and maybe the Pope should be compared to Tiger at this point, but there's this papal level of reverence. People love him right now in a way that is rare, I think, even for a guy who has felt that kind of adulation.
100%, and it's like, I mean, you can see that with the crowds even at his practice rounds. But Dominique, to your point, and to your Spencer, Tom Watson almost won at St. Andrews when he was 65.
Yep.
And why is Tiger doing this? Tiger has this reverence for golf history, or at least appears that way, and he has this reverence for Ben Hogan. And seeing Ben Hogan win tournaments after his car crash, I think, is a parallel.
Yep.
That is something that Tiger Woods wants to win after this, you know, horrible thing that happened to him.
Wrong. The right answer is, what else he gonna do?
That's true.
That's true. The correct answer to the question of why. It hit me while you were giving me all this sentimental, sappy motivation, love golf, Ben Hogan after injury and accident, blah 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 blah.
The real answer is
the man was putting on TV when he was 4. What else he gonna do?
Yeah, he's already dressed his son in identical clothing to play in a father-son tournament.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I feel like that itch has already been scratched. He's like, all right, this isn't doing it for me. I thought it might if we dressed identically, but it turns out I need to do this myself still.
Like, I really think like dudes like that are always the guy in the heist film, right? Just one more, and it'll be fine. Then I'll get out of the game.
Professional boxers, like boxers, the way boxers approach their profession is just retire and come back and keep coming back.
I always wanted to say too, by the way, Tiger was so interesting because he grew up in one of the worst fashion eras ever. Like, Tiger had to figure out how to be an adult on the fly as a celebrity, and that means he wore every pair of bad jeans made between the years 1998 and 2011. And there are a lot of really bad jeans made then. I'm talking like Justin Timberlake, like early
Jordan-esque run of jeans.
Oh yeah, truly. there's some big ill-fitting clothing in that man's paparazzi
history. We have a bad jeans expert on our panel. I don't know if you know this or not.
Yes.
We have a bad jeans expert by the – oh, not you, Spencer.
No?
You are not – no.
I wish.
I'm filibustering for my man.
Oh, my goodness. There he is.
There is the king of the bad jeans. I see you out there looking like Brett Favre.
Oh,
we a pickup truck with a football.
We got there, Fox.
My jeans love the Masters.
They do. Your
jeans. They revere the major tournaments.
All right, guys, we got 15 minutes left. So let's move on to the NBA 2022 playoff subplot draft. And the reason we're doing this, thank you, is, you know, Ben Simmons might return in the first round. Luka's injured. The Bucks duck the Nets. And everyone knows that this league is all about the subplots even more than the games. So here's how we're going to do it. We're going to do a snake draft. Everyone gets three picks, and the first pick goes to Dominique Foxworth, the second pick goes to Pablo, the third pick goes to Spencer, and around we go, snake draft style. Dominique obviously gets the first pick because otherwise he would complain about it and make fun of the entire exercise without participating. So, Dominique, you're on the clock.
Oh, man. I love it when my tantrums pay off. Give me everything surrounding the 76ers. So, I think – the James Harden fiasco. I think the Joel Embiid with him on his back, which also gives me somewhat of a connection to the Nets. I think the whole 76ers saga in the playoffs is going to be incredibly interesting. I think Embiid's going to say interesting things. He may cry when they get put out. He's going to be talking trash to Ben Simmons. It's going to be great. Give me 76ers and James Harden.
Wow. With the second overall selection in the 2022 NBA playoffs subplot draft, I'm going to take the one Sixers angle that Dominique actually didn't pee on just then, which is the fact that Matisse Thybulle is not vaccinated and cannot play home games in Toronto. Like, this is insane to me. We went through months arguing about unvaccinated NBA players. Nobody knew that Matisse Thybulle, it turns out, had gotten one shot and then was like, you know what? Not going to get the second. Not for me. Don't need it. Thereby being the most infuriating version of this person. Like, you're so close to not ruining the entire enterprise that is you being on a team. All you had to do was get the second shot, get a J&J shot. There was so much time. But now they're going to go to Toronto in that 4-5 matchup. And Toronto, Canada, they have all of these protocols that make it so that you can't play if you're not fully vaccinated. It's too late. You need 2 weeks to get the shot. And now, guess what? We really could have used you, buddy, except you're a terrible teammate.
Counterpoint, it's Matisse Thybulle, so I don't even know if the Sixers truly care. Spencer, you're up.
Oh, my God.
That's a bad pick at number two.
I'm going to sublet from Fox here, and I'm going to go ahead and select the two words, James Harden. James Harden saga, because it is one of my Thank you. Give it Big Jimmy. I'm going to go ahead and select so that big. Because people will, again, try to make him what he is not. They will want him to be, yes, larger still. because he's going to have one great game in the playoffs, and everyone will go, finally, this guy's on board. Then 2-for-16, going to completely evaporate because being kind of a rack in playoffs is just kind of the deal. And you know who's not going to feel bad about it? James Harden, because this is his game. Always has been.
All right. I mean, I did get to go first, which means that I should respect this construct.
Snake draft. Respect
but
the snake
I will not
draft.
Respect
snake
the
drafting.
Snake draft.
Snake...
And
what?
I will take the Phoenix Suns. Chris Paul and the Phoenix Suns. Chris Paul getting his first championship is incredibly interesting to me. The Phoenix Suns going undercovered, even though they are by far the best team in all of the NBA. Devin Dominique Booker is breaking the conceit in the
pursuit
level
of Suns justice.
I'm breaking the conceit in pursuit of a better show because you went Thybulle. You went Thybulle at number two. Yeah, I mean,
you laugh right now. Wait.
So, I mean, I love Spencer, so I'll let him off the hook, but he messed up too. I went 76ers. You went 76ers. And then you know what Spencer did? Mm-hmm. He went 76ers.
I did.
So I am not breaking in because I don't respect the contract. I break it in because I respect the audience. Give me the 76ers, you maniacs.
Wow.
I'm going to go ahead and go back to
my order so that we can make sure Pablo goes last at every stage here. That's what we're doing now.
I like that.
And I'm going to go ahead and just say, the Grizz, baby. Give me the Grizz.
I like it.
I will take the whole thing. The most entertaining team in the NBA, hands down. John Morant looking healthy, looking like nothing's wrong with that leg. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take the Grizzlies, if only for the sight of the entire FedEx Arena all chanting along to one extremely problematic hip-hop song. Yes. Yes, that is what I did.
Yes, yes. Award-winning. And then they win the...
I'm sorry, win Oscar award-winning problematic
hip-hop song. Yeah, get it all in there. Mm-hmm. All right, Pablo.
So with the fifth or sixth pick, I forget where I am now, of the 2022 NBA playoff draft, I'm going to do an under the radar story. I'm going to take the fact that these play-in tournament games, did you guys know that the statistics in these not really playoff games, don't count?
They don't count for
you
anything.
You just exist in a purgatory. It's not a regular season stat. It's not a postseason stat. It's just entirely filed under play-in.
Well, I mean, yesterday didn't happen either. Like, I looked at the stats from yesterday's game, and we had like 5 40-point scorers, and I don't think any of them has ever made an all-star game. Like, the end of the basketball season doesn't count. So I think that is proper that the play-in game also does not count.
Very good.
Oh, is it back to me?
Unfortunately.
Yes, unfortunately. Look at your team. Look at your roster right now.
And I got Matisse Thybulle and fake stats. Oh, feeling gosh. Great so far.
Yeah, just big old. That's a big old nerd team right there. Big old nerd team.
I am going with Kevin Durant in the Nets.
Yeah.
How good can Kevin Durant in the Nets? Well, how good can Kevin Durant be? We saw him last year almost single-handedly knock off the eventual champs, and he's a year older. But still, like, when he was healthy this season, I think their record is like plus 20. And mm-hmm. when he's not, it is there's like negative 20. He's that good. So I think that Kevin Durant had a point to prove last year. And he was a couple inches shy of proving that point. So watching him in the playoffs this year, I think could be incredibly fun. Maybe we get Ben Simmons back. Are you about to correct my bad stats?
I just want to help. 36-19 with Durant, 8-19 without Durant. He is awesome. I think it's particularly interesting that we've had this epic three-man MVP race, but I think you can make a legitimate argument that Kevin Durant has been the best player in the NBA when he played. And I cannot believe – I'm actually going to give you this, Dominique, because you mentioned it a bit, that it took us till the seventh pick to talk about Ben Simmons returning and potentially being an X factor for – a play-in team Nets that people still think of as a title.
Yeah, just wait till KD drops 50 in the play-in tournament and Ben Simmons drops a triple-double and none of it counts.
The reason why I was slow to pick up on the Ben Simmons thing is because he was bad in the playoffs, bad in the key moments in the playoffs last year and hasn't played for much of this year. It's hard for me to consider this guy.
No, that's all they need.
It's hard for me to
consider
him an expert. I mean, an X factor. He's going to come just cold off the bench and shut down somebody defensively and just like really cold, not just cold off the bench, cold out of the locker room, having not played all year and just play playoff level basketball and not be at all like intimidated by the moment. If we're to presume that last year, part of the problem was he's intimidated by the moment. Now he's going to get no warm up, dropped in a big moment. I guess that's fun to watch, though. So
it is fun to watch. The question for me is whether he plays at the end of fourth quarters, because that's when he will be fouled, and so they'll send him to the line, and that's a thing that they'll want to avoid.
It's not even that. It's they won't guard him throughout the course of the entire game. It's part of it. It's not even just the fourth quarter being fouled. It's that they'll back off and force him to pass, which
– But he'll just play center. He's just going to play center. He'll play center because they don't have a center.
Speaking of the exact opposite of that type of player, I'm going to barge in here and make sure that Pablo goes last again by going ahead with the ninth pick before the eighth pick. I'm going to go ahead and select the big ox cart, baby, F-350. I'm going to select Jokic. Just give me that. Give me that on the Nuggets. Come on. Roll through. Watch a man that huge who's on that 1965 workout plan just roll in and make some of the sauciest passes you have ever seen by a man that size. I'm going to go ahead and take him. Marvel of nature. Wonder of the world. I will take Jokic and the Nuggets.
It's important that you clarify you're taking Nikola Jokic because a player just emerged on NBA Draft Nerd radars today.
Jovic?
Nikola Jovic,
Jovic,
who is a 6'10 Serbian forward who has a lot of the same skills as Nikola Jokic. And Nikola Jokic should absolutely want this guy off. Or at the very least, this guy needs to put in like a B. Nikola B. Jovic.
Pablo Torre advocates for assassination on Debatable.
I've called for murders on this show before. Nobody
he's
cares.
Done a lot.
Okay, not the first time.
Eighth pick. Right. I tried to murder Jimmy Garoppolo, allegedly.
Yes,
with the eighth
I
pick of the 2022 NBA playoff subplot draft, I cannot believe this is still on the board. I'm going to take the question of what is LeBron James's playoff hashtag going to be? LeBron's going to be tweeting so much during this postseason. And Alabaster, I'm going to credit you for this. We are of the opinion, right, that the hashtag is going to be hashtag basketball junkie who just loves watching the game. Like, that's just going to be it.
Hashtag while so, drinking a fine wine.
He doesn't, right, he normally goes like, what's he, Zero Dark 30, he calls it, right? Doesn't
that's
he like
right.
go
hashtag
into,
Zero Dark 3023, actually.
Yep.
Yeah, he goes into like a playoff, no social media mode, which then was like disrupted by him liking some interesting Instagram post,
perfect
right? At some
booties.
Point,
yeah
at some
booties.
Point,
yeah.
Which I mean, who can judge him? I mean, you can't be 100% focused on basketball all the time.
Like, who can object to that description? Like,
if it's perfect, it's perfect. You gotta like it. But this will be
platonic
the first
booty.
This will be the first playoff season that LeBron James can actively participate or publicly participate in social media. So I actually wouldn't mind. Do you think he'll show up in like the TNT booth or something?
Oh, no, I know That'd what be it'll cool. be. It'll be an Instagram video of him rapping along, saying the wrong lyrics to a song he really likes. That's it. It's the worst lip syncer in the NBA. No one's ever pulled LeBron aside and gone, those are not the lyrics, LeBron.
What's up?
Can I make a prediction?
Yes.
We're going to get a long Instagram from LeBron about Chris Paul and being like, you know, the brotherhood of me, Melo, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Paul. It's your time, Chris. So happy for you. Just another basketball general leading his guys out there.
That's great.
And he's going to show up. He's going to show up courtside at a finals game and be dapping up Chris Paul if they win, so he can be part of it.
Nice. That's good. That's a terrible move, but genius by you.
Yeah.
Hashtag washed kings. He's going to hashtag that post.
Yeah.
He's also going to be elevating young players. Like, when some young player has a good game, like if Ja puts up 35 in a game or something, it's going to be big LeBron time. Welcome him into like this elite club.
Oh, no. LeBron, he's going to talk about how he met him when he was 7 years old in AAU and he scouted him and he was ahead of the curve on everything. Yep. Jason Tatum style. Exactly.
Jason Tatum's going to get one of those. Who else? Embiid. No, Embiid's already there.
I mean, this is like LeBron's very Augusta National like this, going back to an earlier topic that he's like, I will give you the LeBron jacket, green, the LeBron green jacket of approval, right? I'm here to put it over your shoulders, right?
Yo, if LeBron
the man tells a great story.
If LeBron goes full on Jim Nance necktie and he just starts handing out like awards for people, just like pieces of his clothing after these games.
Part of the reason why a lot of people in media hate LeBron so much is because he does our job better than some of us.
Yep.
Because he tells these stories for us every year. He keeps a running narrative and keeps himself involved. It keeps all of us interested. And then we wonder why we're talking about the Lakers.
Yep.
When they're out of the playoffs and they're done. Because LeBron's great at entertaining us.
We also, I'm sorry, one more thing. We also need a haters post.
Steph Curry.
There has to be some sort of haters post where he comes out and is like, can't believe this is my life. Like, we need a replay of the with like a $500 bottle of wine with the label facing out.
I do love those posts, personally. I appreciate that. After Lakers aren't even in it, he's going to be like,
I'm still on my island.
So I guarantee you if Steph has a big game, LeBron tweets, hashtag just another kid from Akron. And just as we close out here, I would like to mention that we did not talk about the number one seed Miami Heat. Shout out to Heat Culture, who will then be offended that we didn't talk about them, even though we're making fun of all these teams. We did not talk about the Bucks, who call themselves, like, you know, the tough champs, but they decided to skip the Nets and tank the three seed.
The Nets. Yep.
And we continue to just love Steph Curry, who has been injured and the Warriors have been bad for months, and we're just going to ignore the fact that he could miss game one. But anyway, great draft, guys. I think this worked out really well.
Happy with my team.
Except for
really
Pablo's
team. Team is terrible.
Except for Pablo's.
You're welcome, Alabaster. I did the best I could, man. It was tough trying to carry Pablo again.
You're the Jokic of the show, man. Just F-350, big old hoss. I like that he walks through and universally you just have to go anywhere in the world and be like, that's big old hoss.
The problem, the difference between me and Jokic is Jokic won't tell his teammates that he stink. I'll go ahead and tell Pablo.
Brothers to tell him that stink. It's important. You need to have giant brothers if you're a giant NBA.
See, Dominique thinks he's a Jokic. He's really a Jovic.
Well done, Pablo. Good job. You can build on that for next show.
We brought all the
Thank you.
Green jacket.
File that back. Did you guys know that Tyrese built a Benihana in his house?
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of, like, rich people doing stuff involving chains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's called Gibsyhana.
Yes.